This is SciPodcast episode 27, European GP. So have we given up on the two episodes?
Well, we're just trying this as an experiment because the Silverstone Grand Prix seemed to go down quite well. You know, where we did the whole qualifying and race in one podcast instead of doing one on a Saturday night that nobody ever listens to.
Fair enough. It's going to be a long one then.
It's going to be a really long one.
Especially with the race we just had.
Should we get started?
Free practice seems like such a long time ago.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really that exciting.
Friday morning. Not a lot happened, has to be said.
Winklehock made his debut.
Oh, yes. For Spyker.
There was rain overnight, but the track was dry, so it didn't cause too many problems.
Nope.
Michael Schumacher turned up.
Yes, Germany, innit?
And that's about it. Free practice one, the top three were Hamilton, Raikkonen and Alonso.
What happened in free practice two?
In between one and two, it rained really hard, and the race that was going on at the time had to be stopped.
Really, really, really bad rain they experienced there.
It meant they had to start on intermediate tyres, but after a while they changed to soft tyres and they were getting much better lap times.
Yeah, it didn't take long for a dry line to appear.
The top three in free practice two were Raikkonen, Hamilton and Massa. On Saturday morning it was sunny. In free practice three, everyone got good runs, but no one looked particularly confident. There seemed to be a lot of things they were trying to gather information about.
Yeah, Winklehock actually didn't do so well. He kept kind of spinning off a couple of times. But by and large, everybody put in a lot of laps.
The fastest three were Raikkonen, Hamilton and Alonso.
And I think worth mentioning is fourth place was Kubica.
The sun continued to shine for qualifying. In Q1, Sutil came out first. And at one point, Sato was the fastest man, but he was only ahead of, like, Toyotas and things, which is still quite impressive, I suppose.
Yep.
Finally, they've started putting a replay sign in the corner of replays.
Yeah.
It's a little thing, but it's really helpful.
Tennis has only had that for, like, the last 35 years.
Yeah.
So that's quite handy.
It was the usual four at the front, followed by Kubica and then Heidfeld. There was plenty of coverage of the Spykers because they have two German drivers. Winklehock went wide. Ooh, how exciting.
Don't be mean.
Well, they're not that interesting, but I suppose it's only fair because they don't get coverage anywhere else.
No.
And it didn't last very long.
No, they were both gone by the end of Q1.
They were, along with Button, Speed, Lietzi and Coulthard.
I think Coulthard, his team made a major mistake. They didn't give him enough time and enough space amongst the traffic to get any runs in, and they did that twice, so he was a bit unhappy with his team. And as for Button, well, I think he just got the balance of the car wrong. The car seems to be fundamentally okay, because Barrichello did quite well, but I guess Button went the wrong way in terms of car setup and struggled.
In qualifying two, 5 entire minutes went by before anybody came out. It's just an empty track. And then Ralph came out and he was all by himself for at least half a lap. Everyone was just waiting.
Actually, it was quite good that there was a bit of a break because I was listening to Murray Walker on Radio 5 Live, so it kind of gave him a bit of time to fill. But every time there was a bit of a gap in the action, they kept going to golf. Rubbish.
It was quite funny because they kept on saying how Trulli is the one-lap specialist, and then he made, like, 5 mistakes. He spun off and he went wide and all this kind of stuff. Not that special today.
It might have been car troubles for him, but yeah, he did actually ruin a couple of people's last flying laps, didn't he, by causing a yellow flag.
He did manage to get through into the third session, though. But Rosberg, Wurz, Fisichella, Barrichello, Davidson and Sato, they didn't.
I think Wurz did quite well. He was very, very, very close to Rosberg. Obviously, previously in the season, he's not done so well in qualifying. And this time, he's right up there with his teammate. Shame he didn't get into Q3. But a notable drive from him. Also, both Super Aguirres into Q2. Very good.
In the third session, it was business as usual for Alonso, who waited in his garage. Hamilton, however, he was not at the front of the pit lane queue.
Massa jumped him.
Massa was in front, and they went round a couple of times, and both came into the pits together, and both came out of the pits together, and Hamilton was so desperate to get past.
Yeah, he wanted some clean air, didn't he? And basically, Massa was having none of it.
He couldn't get through. He had to back off. He actually backed off a really long way, but still kept up his fast sector times, which confused me a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I guess his team in the end said, look, just leave it, you're not going to get past the guy. You need some clear air, you need some space. Let the engine cool down a bit, and so he dropped off quite a bit.
And then he crashed.
Blimey, did he crash. Hamilton off in qualifying. Major, major accident.
It was quite a speedy exit.
About 120 miles an hour, wasn't it? Uphill, in the renamed Schumacher S corner.
They red flagged the session, and Hamilton didn't get out of his car for ages, and when he did, he was stretchered off. The car's front right was all smashed in. Apparently, it was a right front wheel gun failure. They used the same gun on Alonso's car, but because the session was red flagged before he got to that corner and everyone had slowed down, he didn't have the same problem, but it looked like he would have done.
Yeah, I think definitely Ron said that would be the case. Because he hadn't leant on that tyre, it was actually basically still on the car. Had he done the same thing that Hamilton done, gone through the corner just as quickly before the session had been red flagged, I think the same thing would have happened to him. You've had two cars in basically the same corner, which could have been a bit of a nightmare. The issue, I think, was caused by... it wasn't the guy who put the wheel on. It was the gun he had in his hand. It seemed to have a pressure problem that allowed the wheel to be locked, and there's a safety pin inside the mechanism, which prevent the wheel from coming off. And he pulled the safety pin out, so as far as he knew, the wheel was on securely. But for some reason, and I think this team is still kind of investigating this, it managed to work its way loose, but only fractionally. And what that meant is basically the front tyre was just sort of wobbling on its axis, and it rubbed against some of the aerodynamic parts on the front section of the car. That punched the tyre exactly the wrong moment. And Hamilton had no time to react and no time to do anything, and therefore he was just a passenger as he went flying into the wall.
Hamilton was said to be okay, and after they'd rebuilt the tyre wall, the session was restarted. Raikkonen went fastest. Alonso couldn't match it, but it looked like he had a major wobble
Good
halfway
Lord.
Around.
Yeah, I don't quite know how he managed to keep the car on the road. It was sideways in every direction, I think. He must have lost about 7/10 going around that corner.
Which means that Massa, who couldn't get higher than third, must have been seriously slow.
Or seriously heavy. Certainly, I think Alonso was lighter than both Ferraris, and I think the strategy for McLaren was to try and get both cars on the front row in order that they could maybe control the race. Obviously, that kind of went out the window. What with Alonso's mistake and Hamilton's crash, they ended up 2nd and 10th.
So the final grid positions. Raikkonen, then Alonso, Massa, Heidfeld, Kubica, Weber, Kovalainen, Trulli, then Schumacher, and Hamilton in 10th, although whether he would be cleared to race was not decided.
No, I think they take him to hospital and have to do some scans on him in the morning.
Yeah.
Before they'd say it was okay. But what a qualifying session. Did you enjoy it?
Well, yes, but... I watched it after the event because I was out.
Oh.
So I already knew what happened.
Yes.
It was everywhere. You couldn't avoid it.
Nope.
And you told me.
Right.
What a place to go off.
Absolutely. And what a baptism of fire for Murray Walker, really. Let's be honest.
Yeah, what a race to come in and make your commentating return.
I have to also give kind of a bit of kudos to ITV, unusually, because I thought they covered it really well, given the fact that the session was stopped, it was extended, and therefore all of their schedules were kind of thrown out of place. They actually managed to give it a good amount of time at the end of the race, and they didn't cut anything off or lose anything important.
You have to wonder whether they would have extended it if it hadn't been Lewis that crashed.
Well, that's true. It was probably within, you know, the nation's interest to make sure he was okay. But, you know, it wasn't such a bad coverage from them.
Alonso had a really bad start, and he was overtaken by Massa around the first corner.
Yeah, he didn't want that to happen, especially as he was kind of out of position in second. He kind of needed to get Kimi before the first corner. Didn't happen.
No. Everyone went really wide.
Yes. It was a bit slippery, I guess, but at least everybody started. That's a good sign.
And they all managed to make it round in one piece.
Yeah.
It didn't last for long, though, because two BMWs, they connected with each other and span off.
That's not going to go down well with the team bosses. I'm not sure who was at fault then. I think Kubica maybe didn't realise Heidfeld was as close as he was, and he kind of pushed him onto the grass, which meant Heidfeld had no grip at all, unless he collided with Kubica.
They both carried on, though.
Yeah, Kubica at the back. Didn't he spin round? Had to wait for everyone to go past him.
Hamilton had an amazing start. He got up to 4th, but... I think he picked up a puncture from the BMWs or something.
Yeah, he kind of got caught in that little bit of an accident. And I think was it his rear tyre got caught. He made it up to 4th place, right behind Alonso, which is amazing from 10th.
Yeah, but then he had to start dropping back.
Yeah.
Because of his tyre, and he had to go in the pits. So
absolutely.
Ruined. Coulthard went off, but he regained the track.
Yeah, he kind of, I don't know what happened now. I mean, I watched it again, and I think he had a bit of a wobble on the rear end of his car, and he tried to catch it, but he overcaught it and then basically threw himself off the track. It kind of speared to the right where he tried to catch the back end of his car, and he just chucked himself into the gravel. But
there was no one else involved at all.
No damage done, and he continued.
Then came the rain.
The rain.
Rosberg and Barrichello, they clashed. The Honda ended up in the gravel.
I'm not sure if this was entirely the fault of the rain or just Rosberg getting a bit hot, or maybe Barrichello breaking too early, but basically Rosberg lost the front of his nose, and Barrichello had a bit of a damaged diffuser and then got sent flying off the track, didn't he?
It really started chucking it down. Everyone dived into the pits except Raikkonen. He was at the front And he left it too late to go in. He did try, but couldn't make the turn, so he had to carry on.
I think he got the angle wrong. He was lucky not to hit the wall, but he did mean he had to do a whole other lap while everyone else was on the correct tyre.
Also, Winkelhock, he had started from the pit lane, so he was already on the wet tyres.
Stroke of genius there from Mike Gascoigne. Obviously, Winkelhock was starting from the pit lane, so he had to wait for all the other cars to clear before he could set off. And I guess Mike Gascoigne kind of realised there was a lot of precipitation in the air, rain was predicted. Stick him on intermediate tyres from the off. And when everyone else had a pit, he didn't. So he took the lead on his debut race. Amazing.
Lots of people put on their wet tyres and bundled back out onto the track. They made it round one lap, but the first corner seemed to be the most hazardous. Button span off. He hit the wall, broke his suspension. Then Hamilton did the same thing, just missed Button. Hit his front wing, but he got away with it. Seems to be a familiar sight.
What, looking
weekend.
At a tyre barrier?
Yeah. Button jumped out of his car onto the tyre barrier and was gone, whilst Hamilton remained in his car. Sutil came down the straight way too fast.
How did the FIA not call him up on this? He was going 6-7 times faster than all the other cars. Backwards, sideways, you name it, he came from nowhere.
He barreled past two cars, nearly took out Raikkonen, crashed into the wall.
Yep.
Those three were soon joined by Rosberg and Speed. Then Liuzzi, who was already out of control coming into the corner, he spun around, nearly went backwards into a tractor.
Yeah, that was quite dangerous. Actually, I'm not entirely sure what the marshals were doing, because we were watching it and there was marshals. You could see cars literally had no control at this point. No one could really keep their cars on the track.
There's too much water at the first corner. They couldn't do anything about it.
They were just aquaplaning straight off. Yeah, the marshals clearly could see this, but they were just running around amongst the cars trying to, I don't know what they were trying to do. Seriously in danger of being hit by any oncoming, you know, sideways cars. And then they decided to pull a tractor out in the middle of it. In theory, the tractor is to pull the stricken cars out of the way, but, I mean, it in itself is quite a dangerous thing to have in that kind of situation, I think. Also, I thought the safety car did really well. Obviously, the safety car was called out by the race director, and he sits at the end of the pit lane. And he was quietly waiting to collect, you know, the next car in line. Looked in his mirror, there was Liuzzi flying down the track backwards. He thought he'd get out of the way, didn't he?
He did. He accelerated out of the way despite having to splash through a huge puddle.
Yeah, I mean, he's supposed to wait at the end of the pit lane, but I think it was a good decision just to keep out, you know, to get around a corner and into safety to avoid the Formula One car flying at him backwards.
It would be very bad if the safety car had an accident.
Well, they have spare ones, but it wouldn't have been a good start, would it?
So finally, they decided a red flag was in order.
I should think so. If only for the marshal's own safety, who were seriously in danger of getting themselves killed, I think.
Hamilton was crane lifted out of the gravel back onto the track with him still in the car.
I don't think I've ever seen that before. Have you?
I really haven't.
That was a new one on me. I liked it though. He obviously got his engine running and they placed him down safely and he was on his way.
And carried on.
At the back, a lap down.
As if nothing had happened.
Yeah.
It was confirmed that Liuzzi, Speed, Rosberg, Sutil and Button were all out. The red flag situation meant that the restart takes place on the grid, but in the order of the last recorded lap.
So who was in the lead?
Winkelhock.
That says it all about today's race, doesn't it?
New regulations in 2007 mean that it's a rolling start, so they do a couple of laps behind the safety car. All the teams made the most of the fact that their cars were stopped on the grid, but no longer in parc fermé conditions, so they could do whatever they wanted.
I think there was a problem in the back of Hamilton's car, actually, because they were doing a lot of work behind there. Most of the mechanics line in the wet. Quite funny.
The rain had stopped pretty soon after the red flag came out and the sun was drying up the track, so most people were on intermediate tyres, but Winkelhock took a gamble and he stayed on the extreme wets.
Yeah, it seemed like a sensible idea. I mean, the first time it worked, and maybe it worked a second time. Obviously, if everyone had to come in for extreme wets, he'd stay out and he'd continue leading. Otherwise, he was going to fall to the back anyway, right?
And because of the wet weather tyres, it means that the having to use one of each tyre thing goes out the window, doesn't it?
Having to use... Yes, I know what you're saying. You're referring to Article 25.5F, I believe, which states that unless a driver has used wet or extreme wet weather tyres during a race, they must use at least one set of each specification of dry tyre. And because they'd used a wet, it was basically a free-for-all on tyres.
With Winkelhock at the front, the restart order is actually pretty interesting. He leads Massa, Alonso, Webber, then Coulthard.
Coulthard?
Yep.
What, considering he started virtually at the back of the grid and then went off the track, he ends up in fourth?
Yep.
Wow. Who else?
Kovalainen, then Raikkonen.
Oh dear. So that was because he missed his pit entrance and then fell back down the order, right?
Yes, he had to do the extra lap.
Ouch. Okay.
Then Wurz, Barrichello, Fisichella, Kubica.
After a spin. Actually, he did quite well to make it back to there from last.
Schumacher, Sato, Trulli, Heidfeld.
That's because he had to change his nose because he bunted into Kubica, yeah.
Davidson and then Hamilton, who was one lap down, although McLaren at the time were refuting that. The safety car led them around for three laps. There was a plume of smoke from Wurz's car, but it didn't seem to be anything serious. Heidfeld came into the pits. Winkelhock and Trulli were the only ones on the extreme wet tyres, but Trulli came into the pits to change them pretty sharpish.
Yeah, Heidfeld actually started on extreme wets, which is why he came in. So you ended up basically with Winkelhock, the only guy on extreme wets. And it wasn't a great call, really, in the end.
Not a good decision.
The rain didn't come down, it stayed sunny, didn't it?
Hamilton was allowed to zip past all the cars behind the safety car and unlap himself. I suppose by then McLaren must have admitted that maybe they were a lap behind. He would have caught up to the back of the pack, except that he too went in the pits for dry tyres.
Well, this is an interesting decision, because presumably the team were asking him, as he was going round and getting a feel for the track, whether or not he thought he could get away with dry tyres. And his kind of lack of experience, bearing in mind this is his rookie year, he kind of must have made the call to say, yeah, I think I can get away with dry tyres. And I guess possibly it was a little bit too early.
Well, it was a gamble. Definitely.
It was a big gamble, and he didn't really have much speed when he came out, did he?
He span off the track pretty much straight away.
Mm-hmm.
After the safety car went in, Winkelhock did not hold up Massa or Alonso. They were straight past him, which is good because Alonso was desperate to get past Massa and pulling out some pretty scary overtaking attempts.
Well, he knows what Massa's like in the wet, doesn't he? He thought this is game on. Actually, it was interesting though. I think, wasn't there a problem with Alonso's helmet during the wet earlier, a couple of laps earlier? Because didn't he have to change it during the red flag session?
He did change his helmet, yeah.
Might have had some water or something in it, because I would have expected him to have actually jumped Massa at that point. I thought that would have been a good chance for him. For some reason, he wasn't actually challenging him too much. So maybe he had some kind of drama going on in his cockpit.
It's hard to say whether this is just because of the tyres or not, but it only took five laps for Winkelhock to be at the back again. He was only ahead of Hamilton, who was struggling on his dry tyres. In fact, Winkelhock actually lapped Hamilton, which was not something I expected to see today.
No.
Fisichella overtook Barrichello round the outside of a corner, and that must have freaked Barrichello out because he went on to lose two more places pretty much straight away. Raikkonen was trying to get past Kovalainen, and he almost managed it, but Kovalainen was doing some good defensive stuff.
He was actually having a good drive today. I thought he was doing quite well, kind of getting to grips with his car this kind of midway through the season.
Now people started to pit for the dry tyres. Raikkonen, Wurz, Davidson and Winkelhock all came in. The track still wasn't good though. The first sector was wet whilst the last two were dry, so we had some pretty weird times. Massa and Alonso came in and then everyone followed them. He'd come from qualifying last to lead the race and then to the back again. And now Winkelhock pulled off the track.
Reliability issue, was it?
Yeah, there were some flames coming out the back of his spiker.
Oh.
He didn't sound too bothered though. He sounded like he'd had a pretty good day.
I think Spiker got some pretty good airtime during this weekend, don't you?
Definitely. Schumacher and Heidfeld collided.
Bit of a misunderstanding into the last corner. I think Schumacher said he made a mistake on the corner before, and Heidfeld sort of sensed a chance. Hadn't really got past Ralph, and Ralph turned in on him, and sadly had a bit of a collision, and Ralph got spun out. I think Heidfeld was being a bit ambitious, don't you?
Yeah, Ralph was not happy.
No.
He got out of his car and he was like waving his fists at the track and he pushed the marshal that way. Very quietly, Sato suffered from hydraulic failure, pulled off the track.
And amongst all the chaos, it was kind of a minor thing, yeah. I guess.
Raikkonen started slowing down from third position. He limped around the track, but he didn't quite make it back to the pits. He got to the entrance.
Not a fan of this track, is he?
No.
Not had much luck. And this time, the bulletproof Ferrari, not so bulletproof.
Also suffering with hydraulic problems.
There's a lot of that going around at the moment.
Hamilton made another pit stop. He came out and overtook both Trulli and Barrichello. But when he had to let Massa through under blue flags, he seemed to lose quite a bit of time. Obviously, he's not used to being lapped.
He's not used to being that far back, is he?
There was some kind of wheel cover on the track. Massa nearly hit it, but had lightning quick reactions to avoid it.
Yeah.
A few other people avoided it, and I think eventually it got blown off the track.
I think Hamilton actually crushed it at one point. He came around a lap later and didn't see it. It obviously moved position then. Fell farther down the hill and he kind of crushed it with his left tyre. It was no more.
More interesting strategy news. Kovalainen pitted from fifth position to change his tyres from dry to intermediates.
Even though it wasn't actually raining at this point, was it?
He rejoined in eighth, and essentially he gave up fifth position on the basis that there was some rain predicted and they were hoping it would be now.
Yeah, well, they kind of had a pretty good weather forecast, or I guess they called the first forecast correctly, and they had a lot of faith in it at this point, and they decided to make the call possibly about 30 seconds too early. If the rain had come 30 seconds earlier, we'd be saying that Pat Simmons, he's a genius, and Kovalainen could maybe have won the race. It's just 30 seconds is, you know, the difference between success and failure, and I can kind of see their point, because had they stayed where they were and pitted exactly the same time as everybody else, they'd have gained nothing, and they'd have got fifth place, which, you know, for Renault, they're not really fighting for fifth place, they want to be fighting at the top. If the gamble had paid off, you know, it could have been many, many more points, so that would have been a great, great achievement for them. As it happened, they kind of looked a little bit, I don't know, desperate.
We almost heard them on the radio say, let Fizzy through, because he was behind. But they cut it off.
Yeah.
He did let him through, though.
Well, it wasn't. It's not team orders, was it? It was for a different reason. They were on a different strategy, and his tyres were obviously burning up, and he was holding up Fizzy. And so they just wanted to make sure that they were tuning to the gamble with one car, and they just wanted to make sure that they didn't risk both car strategies.
Not the kind of thing you want to be hearing on team radio, though, is it? It did start to rain, but not straight away as they had predicted, and only on certain sections of the track. Everyone dived in the pits again, changed their tyres. They let Alonso out side by side with the Renault.
Yeah, now this is going to maybe cause a bit of consternation, and at the moment there has been no official word on the situation, and I think because the race director didn't call it before the end of the race, didn't put up a message to say it's going to be investigated, I'm not sure if they can do much about it now anyway. I think it was kind of Fisichella's fault. This when he came into the pits, he was getting blue flags to let Alonso by. And I'm not sure he should have let him go at that point. Instead, he came into the pits in front of Alonso, held him up slightly. Obviously, both cars came into the pits. No fuel needed to go in, so they both came out at basically the same time. And the McLaren lollipop guy let Alonso go into the path of the Renault, almost taking out a Honda mechanic who was kind of attending to his car at the time.
The Renault shouldn't have been where it was, but it's still the lollipop man's fault. I mean, he shouldn't let it out in front.
No, he shouldn't. And I guess the team should maybe be penalised for that. But at the moment, nothing's happened.
To be fair, so far, Massa had done okay in the rain. But this time, he seemed to be struggling.
I think, as we said before, he only did well in the rain because Alonso was struggling with some issue with his visor. Mm. And therefore, he flattered him. This time, however, Alonso had the legs on him, didn't he?
He was all over him, and it was inevitable that he was going to overtake him. It wasn't easy. I think the cars are really evenly matched.
Yeah.
They were side by side for several corners, and eventually they got it, but they did touch at one point.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure whose fault that was. I guess, I mean, certainly at the end of the race, they had a bit of a chat together. You know, neither was happy about what happened, and I think...
In Italian, apparently.
Well, yeah, apparently. I think possibly that obviously Massa not being so great in the wet may not have been able to control it in the corner and kind of ran into Alonso, being slightly overeager. Alonso can obviously control his car reasonably well in the wet, or superbly in the wet, rather. And so he knew exactly where to position the car, exactly how to head the corner. And I think Massa kind of dived into him. But he probably should have taken that into account, bearing in mind he was trying to overtake Massa in the wet. I mean, I'd have expected him to go sideways and backwards in every way. So, you know, in some ways, Alonso should have maybe been a bit wiser.
It seems like it's always controversial when a car is overtaking up the inside and then the car on the outside turns in too quickly and then bound to collide and then you never know whose fault it is.
That's because they're so little overtaking in F1. No one knows what to do when it happens.
Anyway, Alonso was through and in the lead. And Webber was up into third. He'd had a pretty quiet race. I'd forgotten about him. On the second to last corner, he made a mistake and he slowed right down. I thought he was going to retire right then and then from third place on the second corner. Second to last corner, but he didn't, and he managed to hold off Wurz, who was right behind him, so he got a podium position.
Wurz had another good race too. I mean, yeah. Off note, that was pretty cool. And yeah, the last lap of the last corner, it would have been gutting if you know, his gearbox had given up again, but luckily he managed to sit over the line.
I just want to say, why didn't he get third when I was on his car, when my face was on there?
No comment.
The final points positions were Alonso, Massa and Webber, Wurz, Coulthard, Heidfeld, Kubica, and then Kovalainen. The Drivers' Championship has Hamilton still on 70, Alonso on 68, Massa on 59, Raikkonen on 52, and Heidfeld on 36. The Constructors' Championship has McLaren on 138, Ferrari on 111, BMW on 61, Renault on 32, and Williams finally getting some points. Move up to 18.
It's a big day for the championship, isn't it?
It's a huge deal that Alonso's caught up that lead.
It only takes one race to make the difference. And to be fair to the guy, he has been saying that. My goodness, didn't Lewis's luck run out today?
Well, it had to happen at some point.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of happened actually twice. Didn't it happen yesterday? It kind of ran out. And then again today. So it's certainly kind of thrown the championship in wide open again.
It hasn't made much difference to the constructors, though, because McLaren is still way ahead and Ferrari is still, because they both lost one driver, didn't they, effectively?
They did. Yeah, actually, constructive-wise, it makes very little difference in situation normal in that respect.
It was good to see Webber on the podium, although he did look a bit out of place.
It was good to see an Australian flag hanging over the podium, was it not?
Yeah.
And Michael Schumacher was up there.
Yes.
He
presented a trophy to Ron Dennis.
I think it'd have been a bit weird, actually, if Ferrari had won. Obviously, still working for the team, presented a trophy to his own team.
Maybe they wouldn't have done that.
No, possibly not. Best finish for Red Bull Racing ever, with Coulthard back in fifth. So a good day for them, good points haul. And I guess on the bright side, Renault can take some consolation in that their engine is in that car. So they get, you know, shame you don't get any points for engine kind of finishes.
On the subject of Michael Schumacher, he seems to have grown a sense of humour or something. I almost like him now. It's weird.
That's a couple of times that the camera's been quite funny, really.
Because he was on the pit wall, obviously, and the camera kept looking at him for no reason, really. Yep. And like occasionally he would, didn't he cross his fingers at one point?
Yeah, like, he seems almost human.
Yeah, it's weird. I think this race was all about the tyres, though, wasn't it?
Tyres and experience, I would say. Definitely the old hands seemed to get the better of the young guys, didn't they? Kovalainen, he made a couple of rough calls on the tyres. Hamilton, he obviously made a couple of bad calls. And Davidson actually admitted that, you know, his inexperience in the rain didn't help him any.
Because I suppose the teams have control of it, but really the drivers are the ones on the track, so they should know what they need.
They should be able to feel how it's kind of panning out and whether or not, you know, they can go longer on the tyres they've got or whether they need something new and how long it's going to be. I think I heard Webber calling it's going to be a lap or another lap and a half.
Mm.
And he was pretty accurate in his predictions. Whereas I imagine maybe the younger guys weren't so confident and were a bit iffy and couldn't really help the team as much as the older guys could.
Didn't we find out that there was something wrong with the Toyota tyres?
Oh yeah, well this wasn't driver error. This was a team making a major faux pas
it's
on
ridiculous.
The tyre selection. They sent Ralph out at one point with two wet tyres on the left side and two grooved dry tyres on the right side.
How wonky.
It's not very clever, is it? So he gets to do a lap and come back in.
I wonder what that's like to drive.
I have absolutely no idea, but I'm surprised that when he was sat in the pit box, he couldn't see that, to be honest with you.
That's true.
So you heard Murray Walker commentating for the first time today. What did you think?
It was good. Yeah, he was very good, and I like his enthusiasm,
yes.
Basically. I think that's what everyone has been saying. But to be fair, I just don't think he was given the right... Well, you know, they kept cutting to the golf and the cricket, and it was so annoying.
It was obviously a bad day for sport, and it has to be said, I kind of appreciated ITV's coverage today, because every time anything happened, they cut away to some other sport that something important may or may not have been happening, and I just didn't want to hear it.
And I'll be honest, on a race like this where... there was so much going on. I kind of liked the fact that they were familiar voices.
Yeah.
And you sort of, well, you knew you could trust Martin.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I really, there was a couple of times when James Allen annoyed me, we flipped back to 5 Live, and I really liked the start with Murray. That was so good to hear that.
Go, go, go.
Absolutely. And that was really enjoyable. And he has so much enjoyment for the sport, and you can believe that he loves every bit of it, that it does put, you know, other commentators to shame in that respect. But he wasn't given a good service from Radio 5 Live, especially considering the effort they went to promote him.
You and know, then they kept cutting him off.
And then, oh, let's go and look at the golf. And at one point they said, oh, let's go see what the golf's doing. And they cut to the golfing guy and he goes, yeah, it's raining here. Nothing much happening. Well, do you know what I mean? Why? It just makes me so angry.
Well, I just think, you know, we complain that ITV put adverts on and stuff. So how hard can it be just to stick with the race for 2 hours without cutting to some golf?
Yes.
What can happen in 2 hours?
No,
you know,
it was... And there is two channels. There's Radio 5 Live and then there's a Sports Extra thing. So I don't know what was on that channel. But I can't see why one or the other. It wouldn't have mattered if the Formula 1 was bumped onto Sports Extra, if it had full coverage, to me, rather than what they did.
Yeah, it's the same problem, isn't it? Cutting away.
Yeah.
Cutting away to adverts, cutting away to something else.
You need,
it's the same thing.
You need end-to-end coverage. You want to know that. And the numbers, for some reason, Formula 1 live timing numbers have just been absolutely screwy all weekend. Most of the time it wasn't refreshing. Some of the time it was behind. And so
it was really slow today.
Yeah. You can understand in this race it might be a bit confused. But the updates weren't coming through. And I'm not sure if this is something that Formula 1 management have done to deliberately delay it and slow it down, whether or not they think that's a good idea or something, but whether it was just a technical fault. But definitely the numbers couldn't even be relied on this weekend.
We had to rely on our own eyes.
Yeah, and basically interpretation of what was going on.
This week I had an email from Ken, who runs sportsclubstats.com, and basically it's one of those websites that I know you're going to love.
All right.
Because it's like complicated and stuff.
It's complicated and stuff.
Yeah.
What are you saying about me?
So basically what it tells us is if you make the assumption that each driver has an equal chance of finishing in any position in the race, which is a big assumption.
Especially, you know, with the Red Bull's gearbox these weeks.
Exactly. It calculates the driver's chance of winning the title, and you can click on individual driver pages and see what their chances are. And there are nice graphs and charts and all kinds of good things that you'll love. Obviously, at the last reckoning, it was Hamilton who had the best percentage. But God knows what will happen after this race. So it's definitely worth checking out. Go to sportsclubstats.com/f1.html.
I'm on it.
The other thing is a couple of people have sent us photos that we need to share.
Ooh.
But we didn't really have time this week. So we will definitely be showing them next week. If anyone else has any great photos of races or events or anything, send them to us because we want to get them on the podcast.
Okay. So that's it for this week. We've got a video coming out in the next couple of days, so keep your eye out for that. And I'm off to check that there's dry tyres on one side of my Toyota and wet tyres on the other. It's the only way to drive. All the cool kids are doing.